Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Try and keep it alive.
Good evening, Rita Steele.
Kia ora, how are you guys?
Good,
we're bloody good. Where are you coming in from at the moment?
I am in the beautiful and slightly wet West Auckland.
Ooh.
Is it raining out there?
Microclimate.
It has been today though, but not right this minute. But it does feel a bit wet, doesn't it, normally with this time of year, for sure.
Look, how often does it rain in California? Not very often, eh?
Well, I mean, it is kind of ironic that I'm sitting here in a slightly wetter part of Auckland than the rest of it when we are seeing some pretty significant wildfires in California.
Shit's crazy. I watched a video with Gerard Butler, and he went to his house, which is totally fucking burnt out, and looked like he had a cool Willys Jeep in the driveway, and that was burnt out as well. And I think maybe he was crying, but it was behind some pretty expensive sunglasses, so I couldn't be sure. But he was upset. Obviously, it's kind of striking down sort of the rich areas. I did hear the set of Westworld got wiped out as well, although apparently the second season isn't very good, so don't worry about it, kind of thing. Plus the movie's great
good
as well.
Riddance?
I watched the 1970 version of Westworld, the movie, and I thought it was really good. Just a little side note.
I didn't know there was a movie.
Oh, my God, it's so good. It's fantastic. You know when, like, sci-fi back in the day, and they respect their limitations, and they kind of do what they can? It's, like, right on the money for that. It's so good.
I need to give that one a whirl.
Totally. Uh-huh. Check it out. So, what's the... Like, we know that nature needs fire sometimes to sort of restart. Was that a fair comment?
Yeah, and it's something that I have heard a lot of people say. So I thought that it was a really good opportunity to talk to that and what this actually means. Because I personally think that this is, like, you know, we focus very much so on temperature being a really, like, the gauge of climate change and the evidence for climate change that we're seeing kind of increasing temperature trends over time. But I think the bigger evidence of it is that we're actually seeing exactly what scientists have said was going to happen. So there's all these events that are happening around the world that tell a more, to me, a more compelling picture of the fact that the climate is changing. And the wildfires are a very good example in the Western world of how we're going to cope with this going forward. And they are this year's wildfires, just to give it some context, have been the most destructive in the US. So the economic loss, the loss of life and the total acreage is the most they've experienced on record. And it is, although there is some other metrics that other years have beaten. I think it's like the number of fires or something there might have been more of or something. So there's a few other metrics out there. And it is in line with the trends that the climate change scientists have been saying was going to happen. So they've seen in 2016, they found a 500% increase in wildfires since the 70s. And this is all based on a temperature increase of about 0.25%. So, when we talk about, like, the fact that we're kind of hoping to stay below 2%, you know, this is what 0.25% looks like. So it's a little scary. And I think, like, going back to this natural process of fire kind of makes me think that we just probably need to take a step back and talk about biomes.
Excuse me, what now?
A biome. Yeah, so B-I-O-M-E-S. And these are distinct biological communities, so your plants and your animals, that have formed or evolved in response to a shared physical climate.
Okay.
So in a nutshell, there's 12 of them globally. And so in a nutshell, things like savanna or rainforest or deserts, they're biomes.
Okay.
So, so like I said, there's 12 of them. And California is the biome, but the bulk of California is in a biome called scrub forest. There's a couple of other names for it, including Mediterranean scrub forest. And then they actually like to call it chaparral. I'm not entirely sure why. It might be an indigenous name.
Kind of sounds like biodome. A little bit.
A biome. Well, that's exactly what biodome was based on, you know, this concept of you can create.
Sometimes it's worth saying
biome.
Some things. You think you're going to get a little bit shamed out, but it turns out it's okay.
No.
It's totally
and
okay.
Also a great way to reference a really good movie.
Yeah. Shade, Poochie.
I just want to, I'm going to object to that. But, hey, carry on.
Oh, my God. Okay, we need to talk about this one later.
On weed.
So the scrub forest or chaparral of California Is also shared with other areas, so South Australia, coastal South Australia, the Mediterranean also falls into this, mm-hmm. and then there's a few other pockets around the world. But they have quite long, dry, hot areas. They're not quite deserts, though, and they have short, mild winters. So that kind of is what defines them. And this biome has evolved over, you know, hundreds of thousands of years to be resilient to fires. So you just talked about that, you know, doesn't it help regenerate? Mm. You know, our biome, the temperate, like, which a lot of New Zealand falls into temperate forest, isn't so much evolved for those sorts of fires,
yeah.
but this particular biome is. So what that means is something, for example, like certain seeds that won't actually germinate until, you know, a really hot temperatures come through, like a fire. So it is part of the cycle. What we're seeing, though, is that two things that are happening is that, one, we're actually seeing these biomes shift. And this is the biggest concern for me. So this has happened in the past. Biomes have shifted. And a good example of that is
when you say
that,
shift, you mean they moved position a bit?
Yeah. So a good example of that was that once upon a time the Middle East was actually all lush forest.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and so over time, the way that the currents have formed, so as soon as the current opened between the bottom of South America and Antarctica, it meant all of a sudden that the currents could flow between the two, and that changed everything on Earth. But that happened over hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, whereas we're making these changes in such a short time that no one's got time to evolve to meet these conditions. So, and then that includes us, because we're not able to escape all of nature. We can escape some of it, but not all of it. So that's kind of the biggest concern for me, is that we are seeing these biomes shifting and growing. So something like the chaparral of California is getting bigger. You know, it's pushing out the edges of something that was probably a little bit wetter before. Right. And also we're majorly altering these areas. So we're cutting down the native vegetation,
yeah.
and replacing it with something that's probably not as appropriate or maybe catches fire easier or in a different way. And then we're, of course, adding homes, which is perfect fuel, because most of the things in a home have, like, the foam inside a couch or whatever is great for catching fire.
Mm.
And then, of course, 90% of these fires have been started by people. So
that in that's shit.
Yeah, I know. So in nature,
you're cruising around there thinking you're real, man. What a jerk.
Oh, I think people just, I think ignorance. Like
the dairy out the window kind of thing.
Yeah, dairies out the window, fires that have been left behind, downed power lines is actually quite common as well.
So smoking, Sasquatch as well, they tend to light a few fires out there.
Do you know what, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like maybe someone shooting a gun at like a can might even do it. I feel like that might be a thing in America.
I thought we were going to go, I thought you had a Sasquatch story.
I thought there was a Sasquatch
fact.
So you're saying Sasquatch are out there shooting cans, starting fires? Apparently massive forest fires in Portugal last year, someone's saying.
Yeah. I've been in a forest fire, like a fire in Portugal. It's quite scary, actually.
Hey, Rita, can I just ask you a question? What do these forest fires mean for the air quality in California at the moment?
Well, that brings me absolutely to my next point. So what we're also seeing, and why I said this is a particularly interesting scenario for us, is we're seeing some massive unintended consequences. I mean, they're unintended for your average Joe Blogg. The scientists that have known about climate change have been predicting these since the 70s, and personally I think doing a terrible job at communicating them to us, because I think if we knew about this stuff properly, we'd probably be scared into acting, you know, in a more efficient way than we are now. So what we're seeing is now dangerous levels of air pollution in California.
It was already fucking cooked, wasn't it, really, with all the cars and whatnot?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, the particles, I can post a chart up on how bad it looks. It looks pretty nasty, though. Lots of red on the chart, like, don't go outside. It's not great for them. Mm. But then there's also these other flow-on effects that I think that sort of destabilise the society that we know. So you see wealthy people becoming more resilient.
Oh, did you hear? What was the story I read? It was someone like Kanye and Kim or something were like paying fire people to like take extra care of their house sort of shit.
That's a perfect example of it.
That is just fucked. That's like real bad.
But, I mean, I think that it's fair to say that anyone who had, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in their bank would probably go out and do the same thing.
It happens the same when someone might go to prison or whatever. It's like you throw money at it and everything's going to be okay. And money makes the world go round. There's no bad eyelid on there. That's how it is.
Yeah, but what happens in society where wealthy people have just got such a massive advantage and then you've got a bunch of people that cannot escape it? I mean, that's, you know, what one of the reasons they thought the Mayan society fell, you know. So,
right.
You know,
it's a like hierarchy.
A really scary situation where you've got, you know, a small amount of super wealthy people that can protect themselves from the fallout of climate change while everyone else becomes displaced.
Well, becomes firefighters.
Great job. A great career to get into probably right now. So you've got possible refugees shifting and looking for a safe place to live because California will become less and less and less livable. And it's not just California. You will see this in Australia. We'll see this in Portugal. Portugal, by the way, Portugal falls into that Mediterranean scrub. It's the same biome. So we'll see that in really, you know, in the similar places. And what will eventually happen is they'll become deserts. So that's that shifting of biomes. And they'll just be unlivable. And then where does everyone go? Like, Kanye might afford to ship in water and keep his property, all right? But everyone else has to find somewhere else to live. And there's a lot of people in California, and there's a lot of people in these areas. So shifting them creates refugees. And then, of course, re-engineering things. So how are they, like, the economy slows down. They can't move things around. They can't fly through this kind of these conditions, having to fly around. So all these kind of things that we rely on in society start breaking down. And this will stop soon, fingers crossed, and move on. But when this starts happening globally on all different fronts, we're going to have a big problem because society starts breaking down. So that's kind of, that's why I thought I'd talk about these fires this week. They're very topical, but they also are showing us a little window into the future. We've only got, you know, an area that this is happening in, but potentially we'll have a ton of these sorts of things, these effects of climate change hitting us globally at once, with people displaced and your normal way of life not being able to carry on. And New Zealand's not immune.
I feel like this is going to sound pretty dark, but I feel like the Western world kind of has to experience some kind of refugee situation to really understand kind of, you know, how everyone's like, oh, we don't want them here, all that bullshit.
You mean it's
like,
the West has to become the refugees?
Yeah, I think for us to really understand that this borders concept is terrible. Borders will shift when the land becomes unlivable.
It
has to come to that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I really do hope that we, the humanity part of us does kick in sooner rather than later. I think individually we all know it, but for some reason collectively we're a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, but at the same time, if I've got a real big house and heaps of money, I'm paying the firefighters to look after my house the most.
Yeah, totally, and you'll justify it because it's your home and you know, and whatnot. You know, but you might take people in, like you might not be quite Kim and Kanye. You might take some people in and whatnot. But I don't know. It's an interesting future that we're going to face. And just a couple of things, because I know it's never great to leave on a negative. we are going to see this problem in New Zealand, so we can do things. So specifically, we should be looking in those areas and looking at Indigenous fire cycles. So the Indigenous people actually of Aboriginals in Australia and in the US, they actually had these really complicated fire cycles, and they were so much more closer and connected to the earth, without sounding like a hippie, that what they would do is they'd feel certain winds certain times of the year, and they'd know that meant certain winds were coming, so do a burn off now.
Totally.
So yeah, it's really interesting, and they're starting to realise that, you know, they may have lost some of that skill and expertise in the US, so I think they are trying to capture it where they can. And then, obviously, planting big canopy trees. So in New Zealand, we've got to stop chopping down our big kauri, our big rimu. Like, these are trees that don't catch fire easily. You know, we cut them down and then...
Right, they retain a lot of moisture, don't they?
Yeah, and they keep the soil wet. You know, where we cut down... And what I see people do is cut down things and then leave the land. Like, they don't even do anything with it. And then, of course, gorse comes and manuka comes and they catch fire. Great, you know, so... I just think that, they, you know, we really need to see these things as assets.
Hey, Gorse.
Prickly and flammable.
Piss off, man. Hey, Gorse, why don't you piss off? Nice fence you got there. Oh, shit, wait a minute. It's everywhere. Cool.
And it's so bloody prickly.
Oh, it's so, such pretty flowers, though.
Super jerk, yeah.
Nice and yellow flowers.
Nice yellow flowers.
Great.
And then the last thing is that we can do all of these things. We can try and do all of this stuff, but what we have to do is just limit climate change. We have to all get on board this. You know, 1.5% even going to look quite nasty. So, you know, the sooner we do that, the better. I would imagine all of our listeners, or at least a good portion of them, are on board with this. But, you know, if you've got friends that aren't, you know, try and softly have a chat to them about what's happening in California. And, I mean, I don't know, from what I've discovered, people don't seem to listen to facts. So
yeah, if maybe
that's
go
not
for a
the
trip
best way of convincing someone.
Maybe just pop over to LA and go for a ride around on a bike and have a sniff of the air and see what that's like. And man, that's your future you're cooking up.
Totally. So yeah, that's me for another week. We'll keep an eye on these wildfires. The season's still going. It goes until late November or early December, I think. So right. Fingers crossed it goes away soon.
Right on. Hey, thanks, Rita. It's always a pleasure.
Nice to be here again.
We'll chuck that podcast up, of course. Go to the 95BFM website and just scroll across to Sustaining Alive, and you can have a listen to these at any time.
Cool.
Thanks, Rita.
See you guys.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.